KQJO, St. Joseph Natchez 99.3.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Natchez. Stay tuned and focused, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Chapter 22 of the book of Genesis, verse 1. When you have that, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came into the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took a knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Amen. Amen. May God bless those hearers doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. I want to use this morning for a thought and a title tag for this message: the sacrifice of real worship. The sacrifice of real worship. Again, when we talk about worship, it's about us showing the worth of what we think of an object or a thing. When you think highly or more highly of something, real highly of something, that you show what you think about it by giving it a value or worth or your attention or whatever the case, then you could be entering into worship. In the day and time that we live in, there is a lot of idol worship, and people don't even realize it. Amen. People worship their cars, they worship their houses, they worship the money that they make. Amen. It's funny how they make money, but then money don't make them, but they worship it. Mm-hmm. Amen. God made us, and we should worship him. Amen. We worship ourselves, and idol worship is sometimes as simple as just something that you put before God. something that causes you to say, I don't care what God says about this, I put this before what he says. Very simple things. I mean, it could be something real simple. If God has spoken about it and you said, I don't really care what God says, better yet, you say, well, I love God, but I know God will pardon me and he'll overlook this because I really want to do this anyway. So now you've just gotten into idol worship. Because you put that thing and you esteem that thing more important than you do the word of God. Amen. I want you to think on that a while, because there's a whole lot of idols that we have in our lives. Sometimes we become our own idol. Amen. All right, I'm going to leave now. I'm going to leave that alone. So maybe I'll get some amens later. So when we talk about worship, and this is where God is taking us. This is where he has us for the moment, so that we could understand that worship is important. We're in a season of worship. We're in a time of worship. That's why we always talk about the holidays, and that's what holidays really mean, holy day. It's where they borrowed it from God. They borrowed it. It's supposed to mean holy day, high days, days that we esteem high days, to where we focus on God. And matter of fact, the season of the holidays starts out. It's funny how it starts out, because it starts out in the season of Thanksgiving. Although we've allowed the world to idolize this day and make it something other than what God wants it to be, and now it become a retail holiday rather than a religious holiday. Amen. A day of Thanksgiving. Now they put instead of just having Black Friday the day after Thanksgiving, they all backed up to Wednesday night. So that you can't think about how thankful you should be that God has given you the finances you got to even go on Black Friday. Amen. So we have to be careful with what we see and how we participate in this worldly system, because this worldly system is not designed exactly for us. So when we try to fit into this worldly system, that's why we have so much struggle and strain by trying to fit into a system that's not designed for us. God has a godly system that we should fit in. And we benefit from our godly system and not from the worldly system. Amen? Okay, I'll get off that, because I know y'all don't want me to talk about your holidays just because you're out of worshiping. Amen. Amen. I don't care what you say. I'm still Black Friday. I'm still going on Wednesday. I ain't going to spend time with my family on Thursday because I'm trying to get to the stores that are open. Mm-hmm. Idol worship. Anyway, let's go on here. And so we find ourselves in the chapter here. So for sake of time, let's get out of the way. I know you're ready for me to go already, because I'm messing with your idols. Amen. But we need some time for people to mess with our idols. Amen. We need somebody to break idols. We need some Mephibosheths. We need some, that means idol breakers. We need some idol breakers in the house. Amen. Amen. So here it is, the sacrifice of real worship. We need real worship nowadays, because people don't understand what real worship is. And sometimes we think real worship is only on Sunday. You know, that really means that we worship the day and not the God of the day. Amen. If we think that the only time we truly worship God is the one day a week that we get to come together, the 1.5 hours that we get to come together, then all we are worshiping is that day. Amen. We're not really worshiping God, because we should worship him. Every day should be a day of worship. Every day should be a day of thanksgiving. Every day should be a day to reflect on God, to remember the things that he's done, and to thank him for what he's done, and to show your appreciation by how you talk, act, live, and think. Come on and say amen. That is what we should be doing as worshipers. We should worship him in the beauty of holiness. In other words, my life should be separate from the world in order for me to worship God rightly and purely. I need to be separated from the world. So here was Abraham. Now, Abraham has a son by the name of Isaac. Isaac is a young man now. He's grown up some. And so after some things go on in his life, he finally, in verse number 1, it says, it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, here am I. Now, the first thing I want you to see out of the text is that God tests us for total, to see if we have total submission. God tests us in our worship to see if we are totally going to submit to him. Amen. We have to know that when God tests us and when situations happen, God may be testing to see if you're going to continue to worship me or are you going to throw it in the towel. He's testing us to see if you're truly the worshiper that you said you was last Sunday when hell break loose on Monday. Oh, we had a time last Sunday. But what happened on Monday? Did you continue Tuesday? Did you continue Wednesday and Thursday to be the worshiper you was on Sunday? I wish I had somebody. God allowed these things to happen to test us to see if we're going to continue to submit ourselves to him and to worship him. He goes on in verse 2, and he said, take now thy son, thy only son. He was the lone son. He was the only son. He was the only one that he had there. He was the promised son. He was the one that God spoke to him about. You know, you have some things that pop up in your life that God didn't speak to you about that just happened. But it's some things that you know God gave you. Without a shadow of a doubt, I know God gave me this. You know, so he had Ishmael, but he didn't think God gave him that. He said, well, that happened because I made that happen. But when you know God made some things happen in your life, oh, come on and say, man, you know those things that happened that it hadn't been nobody but God that did it. If it had not been for God on my side and God doing this and God opening doors, God touching my body and healing me, God making a way where there wasn't a way, God giving me the job when he changed the rules and said, you can't have this job, but God changed the rule just for you to give you that. When you know it's him and he tells you to give it up. He said he was the only one. The thing that reminded him of himself, the thing that reminded him of his relationship with God, God said, I want that very thing. The thing that he loved more than himself. Lord have mercy. Do you have some things you love more than yourself? God said, give me that. And so he said, I want you to take him into the land of Moriah, but not only do I want you to offer him as a sacrifice, he said, a burnt sacrifice. In other words, you're not going to even be able to bury him. Lord, have mercy. But I want you to just burn him to ashes. Give him to me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now, we sitting here, we reading this, but we, you know, if you think about it, think about your children. Could you do this? Could you do it with a straight face? Could you do it with a calm countenance? Oh, Lord, have mercy. He said, take him, and this is a test of total submission. He said, take him into the land of Moriah. The land of Moriah, that is the land of the area in which Jerusalem lies. It's the mountainous area, and Jerusalem is on one of the mountains, amen, of Moriah. Jerusalem is there on the mount. And it is believed that Mount Moriah is, this is the legend of Mount Moriah, it's believed that it is the first rock that God created when he created the earth. That's why they fight over that area so. That's why they want to possess it, because they believe of the value in the place is significant for religious purposes. And so that's why when the Muslims went in there, they erected a temple up and a mosque up, and they call it the Dome of the Rock, because it's upon the rock, not a rock, the rock, Mount Moriah. Amen. Just a little bit of history there. So he says, go into the mountains where I will tell thee of. Verse 3, and Abraham did what? Rose up early in the morning, and he saddled an ass and took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering. Look at what Abraham did. Abraham did not hesitate. Look at the submission of Abraham. He did not hesitate and try to talk God out of it. He didn't wake up and say, I rebuke the devil in the name of the Lord. He didn't get up and say, Lord, I'm hoping that you change your mind. He didn't get up and try to plead with God. He got up that morning, and you know what? He went out and he started cutting down the trees, started cutting down some wood, started putting in the work that he had to do, because he trusted God. He believed God. When you have a walk with God, when God asks you to do something real hard, you say, Lord, it's hard, but I'm going to submit. Lord, I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm going to do exactly what you said. And when you trust God, you'll get up early in the morning. You know, he had to get up early because he had to have the joy of the Lord in order to do this. There ain't no way I could be happy about it. I just got to get joy. You know, happiness come from what? Happenings. And if we're not happy, then we ain't going to want to do it. You know, people say, well, you ought to do something that you're happy with. You know, it's not always good to do what you're happy with. It's best to do what you have joy about doing. because the joy of the Lord will be your strength. The joy will help you. The joy of the Lord will strengthen you to get you through some difficult things that you may have to do. And so this was a very difficult thing. He got up early in the morning, submitted himself, and he said, let me take a couple of guys and let's go cut this wood so that we can have for this offering. Amen. And so he got up early in the morning and he began to saddle his ass and got ready. He got two men. They claved the wood for a burnt offering and they rose up and went into the place which God had told them. They started on their journey. Now, as they walked on their journey, it was a while before they got there. But don't you know that at this point, he could not have told Isaac, Isaac, you're going to be the sacrifice. He hadn't told him that yet. He hadn't told Sarah what was going on yet. And sometimes that lets us know we need to quit telling everybody what God is telling us to do, because sometimes they'll try to talk you out of what God is saying to do. Sometimes it's not always good. I'm not telling you don't get good counsel, but what I'm telling you is when you know God is speaking, it ain't no compromising that. It ain't nobody that can tell you better what to do than God. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and said you need to do a certain thing, then you need to get up early and begin to prepare yourself to do what God wants you to do. Because if I talk to you, I might say, nah, I don't know if God will tell you to do that. If somebody else talk to you, they might say, well, pray about it a little longer. God said, I want the sacrifice now. I don't want it later on. I don't want it when you feel like it's okay. I don't want it when you feel like, well, let's see if me and Sarah could have another child just in case I have to give Isaac up. No, he didn't tell him that. He said, the one that you fall in love with, Isaac's name means laughter. The things that make you laugh, the things that give you happiness, the things that make you feel good, he said, I want it. I ain't gonna preach too hard then, since y'all. Isaac, his name means laughter. What makes you laugh? What makes you feel good? God said, give it here. So they went on a journey. Let me get out of here. He says in verse number 4, then on the third day. Now we see the test of total submission to see if he was gonna totally submit. Now we can submit to God. Let me say this before I go on. We can submit to God when things are going good. Yeah. We can submit to God when we got, okay, I got $300. If God wants 20, that ain't that. I can give him 20. But when God said, give me the 300, give me the $280. That devil is a lie. You know, I know that can't be God, because God know I got bills. When we have something, God wants, when we have something, he wants to test us and see if you truly worship me or do you worship what I've given you. I want you to remember something. Isaac was pretty much worshipped by his father and his mother, because they got rid of one son just so they can have him not being meddled with and messed with. Lord have mercy here. Remember, the Bible says Ishmael, that he teased and messed around with Isaac, just kept messing with him. And so Sarah saw this, and then she said, he got to go. Don't be messing with my baby. And what did God say? Abraham, listen to your wife. Now, they put all this emphasis, all this focus on Isaac, but now God is saying, yeah, because you put him way up there, I want him. Okay. And so let me go on. Verse number 4, we find here in verse number 4 through 6, we find there's a time of separation. If we're going to worship genuinely, if we're going to worship truly, if we're going to have a real sacrifice of worship, look at verse 4. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw up the place afar off. So on the third day, here it is, for 3 days, they're getting up, walking to wherever they're going, riding on the donkey, whatever, and they're laying down, going to sleep at night. How can you pray at night knowing what you're about to do to your son? This is a man of faith. This is why God says that Abraham is the father of faith, because he trusted God. He trusted him with everything that he had. We can trust God with a few things. But when it comes time to trust God with everything, then we got a problem. We can trust God with, you know, with waking us up in the morning, but we can't trust God to get us to where we need to be. Because we got to do that then. Amen? All right. Verse 5 says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." He said, now there's a time of separation. Because he began to tell them, look, I left Sarah at the house, but now I brought y'all with me, but I'm finna leave y'all too. And at some point, you have to realize that some people that came part of the way with you, they're not going to go and worship with you. You got to realize that I can't rely on other people to go worship with me. I have to worship God, if I have to do it, by myself. Everybody's not going to believe like you. Everybody's not going to discipline themselves like you. Everybody's not going to worship God the way that you want to worship him, but you got to still worship God. You can't look back at them and say, well, they're not doing this. I'm not going to do it either. You got to say, whatever I got to give him, I'm going to give him, because I'm going to show him how much he's worth to me. This relationship is worth so much, me and you, God. I got to give up everything else. If I don't have to have no friends just so that I can stay right in worship with you, then let it be. But here we are. We're crying, God, I don't want to be by myself. God say, you're never alone, for I never leave you nor forsake you. We're crying, God, I just wish somebody would call me. But God has said, I'm here to talk to you. I'm here to help. I wish somebody would help me. I need somebody. God said, I am that somebody. I'm your all in all. I'm your bridge over troubled water. I'm your friend when you're friendless. I'm your mother when you're motherless. I didn't know that till mama was gone, but I understand now that God will be a mother for you. He'll be a father for you. When we realize that, then we can truly worship God. Hallelujah. Oh, we have to understand that it might be a time of separation. It might be a period that you have to leave some people back and say, you just stay right here with the donkeys. I want to be one of them that stay with the donkeys. I want to be one of them that go on the mountain and that say, I want to worship God. I want to give him my all. Amen? See, you can't worship God holding donkeys. But some of us, we holding on to some donkeys. We holding on to some stuff that's stubborn. We holding on to some stuff that'll kick you. We holding on to some, and you got to understand, a donkey is territorial. We holding on to some territorial stuff. And if we just let that stuff go, we can really go on and worship. I'm talking to somebody here. Some of us are hanging on to the donkeys, and God says, you got to let go and separate from the folks that want to hold on to the donkeys, that want to hold on to the mess, that want to hold on to the burden. You know, a donkey is a burden-bearing beast, and so they want to hold on to the burden, and sometimes you got to put your burdens down in order for you to go on and worship God. I have anybody here. They say, I want to lay down my burdens. And so I can climb. You can't climb the mountain with your burdens. You'll get tired. That's why we say, oh, I'm so tired. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to sing. I don't want to do this. I don't want to. That's all we say. I just need some time to rest. I just need a break. The reason why is because you holding on to the donkey. Oh, come on and say, man, you need to leave and separate yourself. Separate. The burden's holding you down. Whatever those burdens are, you need to realize, I got to leave it here so I can climb the mountain. I have to go higher. I have to. Anybody want to go higher? I want to go higher. I don't want to stay down here in the valley. I don't want to stay with the donkeys. Amen? Amen. Dump the donkeys. Tell somebody dump. Dump the donkey. Let the other folks handle that. Let them stay back there with the burdens. Let them be back there with all the confusion. Let them be back there with the he said, she said. Let them be back there with the pain and the problem. Let them be back there with all the complaining and all the stuff that they got. Let them have all their opinions. I ain't got time for the opinions. I ain't got time right now for the mess. I don't want to hear no gossip. Let them stay back there. I got to go on up to the mountaintop. Hallelujah. Anybody want to go to the mountaintop? That's why Dr. King can say, I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen the problem. He couldn't be worried about what people said. He couldn't be worried about what they were going to do. He had death threats, but he said, I'm going to the mountain so I can look over. Some things you can see better on the mountain than you can in the valley. Oh, glory be to God. Look here. He says there's a time of separation. He told them, he says, stay right here. He says, abide here with the ass, with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And you know, it's something we should do exactly like Abraham. We should want to take our children to worship. We should want them to get an experience with God. We should want them to have a relationship with God. We should teach them the worth of having a relationship with God. We should show them that if you don't have nobody else, if you got the Lord, you got all you need. We should teach them that the most important relationship you can have with anybody is to have a relationship with the Lord. I wish I had somebody. We should teach them that you got to pray to God. You got to thank God for every single thing that he's done for you. Don't take these things for granted. Know that if it hadn't been for the Lord on your side, you don't know where you'd be. We need to talk with them. The Bible tells us that when the children of Israel, when he gave instructions to Joshua and to Moses, he told them, let them know, let the children know in the morning, in the noonday, and in the evening time when you get ready to go to bed, the things that God has done for you so that they'll never forget how good I am. But here we are in the 21st century. We fail to tell our children that it's the Lord that's blessing you. We failed to tell them that it's the Lord, that if you see all the stuff that you got around here, the things that we have, the stuff that you're going to go spend money on for Black Friday, the Lord provided that for you. Come on and say amen. He's given you everything that you need. Amen. Glory to God, and he'll give you what you want too. Amen. There's a time of separation. He says that me and the lad will go yonder and come again to you. Look at what Abraham did. Abraham, he just prophesied. He just spoke a word. Knowing in his mind that God told him that you're going to have to sacrifice your son, he still said, we're going to come back. See, Abraham had this kind of faith that, I'm telling you, he had the kind of faith that we can't see. He had the kind of faith that we don't understand. Because Abraham knew that he was going to have to sacrifice him. But what Abraham trusted in is that if I put him down there and kill him, God is able to raise him up. Because God is the one that blessed me with him. This is the promise. And you can't kill the... You can't kill the promise. You can't kill the promise. You can't stop what God has already said. And so I can kill him, but God can give him life again. Have mercy, Jesus. Look, let me tell you something. God does not change. When God promises, he does not change his mind on the promise. That's why when you look at all those patriarchs before Isaac, you know, he changed Abram's name to Abraham. He changed Jacob's name to Israel. But then we find out here that he never changed Isaac's name. Why? Because you can't change the promise. Lord, have mercy. Somebody will get that when they get home. You don't change the promise. What you say something, you say it, and that's how God said he is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. But whatever God said, he said before my word become void, heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or one tittle of my word. In other words, a jot and a tittle is the cross that you put on the T and the dot that you put over the I. Before I forget to put one little, you know how you write and you might forget to dot your eye. God don't